together, picking the contenders first off, and then after we pick the contenders, we'll pick the pace lines and talk about the model. Shouldn't take us very long, probably another 20 minutes of the job. The number one horse, the first horse here, will start post position. The first horse here, March Speed. So, everybody agree that this horse is a contender in this race?
No.
I hear a one no somewhere.
Yeah, me.
All right. What's the no for?
Well, the only it has never run a good race at this racetrack at this distance.
I would say the last race was pretty good. There was a 10-horse field, and the horse finished fourth within 400.
Mile. It was a mile and eighth.
Well, the horse I don't believe is running. You have a mile and eighth at $25,000. I think the last race was plenty usable. How many people would?
I would have gone back.
Except that that's at a different class level. And I got to tell you one other thing about that race. That's in the number 11 post position. Yeah. And if you're watching the Hollywood Park minor league races, you realize that they break on a turn. Everybody agree that this horse is a contender in this race?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't agree at all.
I threw it out.
Okay, all right. How many people would like to keep it in? Okay, now I kept it in because, for one thing, if you don't keep this horse in here, you're kind of giving yourself a short shrift in terms of finding the exact.
Okay,
you're going to
put five in here, so this may be the fifth best horse.
Pardon?
Will you give us the mile race?
We're going to talk about pace lines in a minute. Let's go get the contenders. Well, all right, let's do the pace line. That's the only race in its past performances you're in any kind of shape using. The rest of them are all at the wrong class level.
I know.
Yeah.
But you'd use the first race.
I'd use the last race back. And if it comes up on the model, fine, I'll bet it. I'll put it in exactive. I might even bet it to win, depending on how bad the rest of the field might be.
He's docking anything
to say that
he wasn't around
to
turn.
Just take it straight up.
Would you use any variances at all in this race?
I'm going to let the ultrasound machine do it. Now, I did in my work. I used phase three, and I have an adjustment for the race.
Yeah,
I have a variant.
In the ultrasound there, would you left it raw, or would you put in adjustments?
Now, I'll tell you the way I use ultrasound. I use ultrasound unless, first of all, I always say no to the computer. I always say don't make any adjustments. And then I use, if they're at a common distance, I'll use both the raw and the ultra plus variant. In this case, because some were at a one-turn mile, which is extremely fast compared to the two-turn mile and eight, I just use ultra plus variant for my whole work. I just crossed out the first line. Now, that's what I'm going to say to the computer here is no, because that's the way I played with all this game. All right, what about Trivette? Is that a contender in here?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Flippy T?
Yeah.
No.
For the sake of Whitby T dropping from 30 down to 16, can we leave Whitby T in for a moment for consideration?
Sure.
Well, not that easy.
I don't like it.
Way up to 20,000 horse.
Doesn't fit the
okay, three races ago it beat a $20,000 field, which is better than this field. So I didn't
like that the line I could.
Well, okay, we're going to talk about the line here. Let's go back to Trivette for a minute, and we'll use the last line of Trivette. Does anybody have any problem with that? Now we use Whitby T. Let's use it as a contender. Now, which line on Whitby T do you want to use?
Burn back.
18th of June.
That's right.
Okay. Let me ask you folks a question here. If the we're split between using the last race and using the one on May 29th or the 17th of May. Now, if you reach back to the 17th of May, it's at a mile and eighth, right? But it's at $25,000. Now, if you want to do things like that, you've got to realize that you're going to lose an awful lot of bet. Because this is not a $25,000
race.
So what? That's four races ago. It's not even in the same barn anymore.
My question is, not a mile and eighth,
I had those.
But going back and like even more justified.
Yeah, except, I would say probably yes, if the horse had run consistently well in the meantime at the same level.
What's the matter with the third race?
Well, let's talk about the third race back.
Yeah.
Who wants to use the third race back?
Throw it out.
Okay, why would you use the third race back and not the second race back?
He
anybody?
Number one, he had a little higher track variance deal that day. I mean, he's not variant, but the speed rating that day. Only jumping $4,000 difference in the, only going down 4,000 from that race. And he finished first and he cut that down to that 136.4. It's a better race than the other two above there.
Okay, but see, then
you still have control.
Then he had trouble on what? Your name? Oh, on May 29th?
That's right. He said stumble at the start.
Okay.
But I
got to tell you one thing you've got to do. You've got to stay current on your baseline, so you're in current form. If you can use the third race back, why didn't he run well the second race back at the same level? He was part of an entry, but he was a strong part of the entry that day, incidentally. And he was favored 2-1 as part of that entry. He was supposed to run well at 20 after his win. Now, what kind of an excuse could we give him for not performing well second race back?
He can't.
He's a declining horse to the extreme. Now, I would agree with whoever wants to use the last race. Now, I chose to use the second race back because of the class level in the last race. That was a much stronger race.
Yeah.
But I would not go back to the third race because you're dealing with a different animal. And you might be with the second race back.
Still
now, let's get this point clear, because Whitby T is the key to this race. He's 6-5 in here with the betting strategy.
Yeah.
This is a key horse right here in this race. If you don't get this straight, you're going to be lining up with everybody that's making him 6-5. Because if you use that third race back, you'll be a killer in the field.
I still don't understand why he didn't at all.
He didn't.
I mean,
yeah,
he did.
Sure, I did. Because he's dropping several levels. He's back to where the trainer's probably going to try to cash after claiming him.
He has the highest APV.
He's the highest APV, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. He is by 20. What did he have? 1.28. He's got a 30% class advantage.
I'm agreeing with you, except you can't make an arbitrary policy to throw that kind of horse out of here because they're going to bite you right in the butt. I guarantee they're going to do that. Now, you made a right call on this, and I got to tell you, I threw out Royal Threads too in that other race. Okay? I kept Whitby T in here because I certainly, if I'm going to bet Booster, which we're all going to do when we're finished, if I'm going to bet Booster, I want to make sure Booster can beat him in one of these two apparently dull races. But what are you going to do if one of these races is so superior to the other horses in the field? You're still going to throw him out? What if he's the number one sustained off the last race or the second race back? Or the number one early off that race?
Well, I don't know what he would be if I didn't run
him. Okay, well, I ran the race and I left him in there. Now, who wants to leave him as a contender in the field? Who wants to throw him out arbitrarily?
Oh, not arbitrarily, no way.
I'll leave him in so I'll
leave him out. He's still going to have some impact on the field.
No, I mean as a group. We have to make arbitrary decisions as a group, right? Okay, because not everyone's in agreement.
Doesn't he still have some sort of impact on the pace as being the top class horse in this field?
Well, he may. In this case, he has very little.
Theoretically, impact. If you're putting it into the computer, that's why you keep him in there, to see if he does have any impact or any impact value.
Now, when I said who wants to keep him, I got about three hands raised. And when I said who wants to throw him out, I got about three hands raised. And there must be 50 of us in the room. I'll tell you what I did. I kept him. But I used the second race bet. Several people used the last race.
Right in.
Now, a lot of people kept him because he was 6-5 out there. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't make anybody right or wrong. That makes them all wrong in here. I would never have bet a horse like this, but I kept him in a race to analyze the race. Now, remember that I'm also working this with Phase 3, and I have individual race adjustments also. And he came up very poorly there, too. Okay. Be my guest, but be very careful when you start throwing out horses that are dropping like that, horses that are not, because the drug is not all that suspicious because he belongs at the $2,016,000 level. It's not like a horse that drops from 32 down to 12.5 and has never been there before. That's terrible. But this horse belongs basically at that level. Gallop minded?
Yes.
Yeah. Showed good speed to the 6 furlongs anyway.
Okay. Gallop minded I kept in also, but I used the last race. I didn't go back looking for anything. Yeah. Even though he was impeded, the rest of the races won't come up any stronger than that, especially if you're using ultrascan. Certainly.
Last week, the last time we were here, we had a horse that had a problem in the race, and because like this, then we were defeated, we changed the length of it. That would have been a sprint.
Yeah. I may have.
I didn't change anything here. I ran the last line just like it is, but I wondered if you
now, okay, when I did that, I also said, I believe, that I do not recommend that as general policy. And that if I do it, I don't recommend everybody else do it because you'd get in an awful lot of trouble speculating something that did not exist. In this horse's case, what would you add in terms of legs? He didn't lose a whole lot of ground. He was already on a declining pattern in the race. He's already losing ground, so what do you add? Put another length up? Be my guess. That's what, all right, I mean, bring it the other direction, all right. But be my guess, you want to add a length? What would you do, add 4?
I didn't do anything.
Or take away 4? Okay. No, because, it says he was impeded, but how much ground did it cost him? He was 2.5 lengths back at the second call. He was 3.5 lengths back at the eighth pole. He was impeded somewhere between those two calls because it was at 3:16. He didn't lose any ground.
Okay, well, the last time we did, it was a mile and main break until the final call.
Yeah, but I do not do that as general practice. And if I did it in there, it's because the horse was impeded in the final strides and it might have cost him 3 or 4 lengths. There would have been a big adjustment between the eighth pole and the finish there. On this kind of horse, I wouldn't do that. Then I wouldn't have fooled around with it. If it was bumped at the start, I wouldn't have fooled around with beat length.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. And I said, I think I have offered it to you as a possible approach, but I do not do that as a general rule.
Okay.
Okay? You got to be careful with it because you're also, you're speculating on something that did not occur.
You went back to his 17th of May, still lost 6.5 lengths.
Yeah, those two races are basically, even as you look at them, when you realize that ultrascan is adjusting to a common or meridian variant, that the two running lines are pretty much the same for the horse. So if you'd like to use the second race back, go ahead, but realize that it was 2 levels higher. I'm not talking to you as a person now, all right? I'm talking about the group now. All right, if anyone wants to use the second race back, but just realize that that's at 2 levels higher, and you may or not have the same horse. Like the way home?
No.
No, I'm going to ask you, if you're throwing out horses like Whitby T and the rest of them, why wouldn't you throw out like the way home? Bulls, I got to tell you, that's not right. Look at the third race back and tell me that the horse is on an improving pattern. Based on the third race back, the horse should have won 2 races ago.
Right. He couldn't beat 10,000. How's he going to beat 20 or 16?
I don't know who you've been reading, but you're going to get yourself in a little trouble like that.
Also, he's going to be going to be 5 lengths off the pace at the 6th.
Okay. All right.
Who won? It looked like I should include him, so I did.
Okay, I threw him out. Okay, I threw him out.
You threw the horse out.
Yeah. Okay, now, I'm not saying we have to do exactly what I did. Who wants to hold Light the Way Home? Only show me some hands here. Who wants him in a race? Okay, then figure the race again, because you won't have him in the figures on the answers.
He won't make it.
No, he's not going to make it. Booster was in the same race, and you're adjusting to a common norm.
Well,
he doesn't make it. I mean,
comes in third.
They're telling me that he's not going to make.
That's fine, but now you got 6 horses because I'm going to give you 5 contenders, and you try to put the 6th one in there, and the machine's going to say, "Don't do this."
No, I
actually came in fourth.
Okay, but then when you do it, you're only going to have to do it again, or your numbers aren't going to match what I produced on the answer sheet. Now, I think Light the Way Home was not a contender, folks. I don't bet that kind of much. I don't even consider it. Star Material, who wants to add him?
No. Poor horse. He's ready for the...
Well, you're willing to use Light the Way Home off of his third race back in $10,000. All right. Star Material ran well at 10, showing a lot of speed. I threw out Star Material, too.
Oh, God.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you're going to bounce around within the same race and apply different philosophies in terms of your contenders, you're going to wind up with a 40% winning percentage.
Bingo player.
You threw out a horse trained by Marcus J. Murphy?
And written by Jan Dugas.
Murphy's all right. Don't be knocking Murphy.
I like Murphy. He's good. He's good.
If he's got a...
What I'm going to suggest,
of course you can train it.
Well, can I get some attention here from what I'm going to suggest to you is that you maintain the same philosophy throughout that race. Because if you start bouncing around in terms of what you will and won't accept, and you have no consistency or no thread of consistency, you're going to wind up in a dumper.
Like the way Holt has done.
I threw out Star Material. I threw out Light the Way Home. But you're accepting Light the Way Home off of one good. Race at $10,000. That's basically what you've got.
Well, I needed 5 horses, and I just thrown out Marcus
D. Okay, but he's got a fair race at 16. I'd rather have that than a couple of horses can run one at 10.
Sure.
All right, I'll tell you what. You see me afterward. I can't go. I mean, we're going to tie up everybody on something that is a nit here. It's just not a major point. We have, but my point is that if you don't apply the same principles to the same race, you're going to wind up in trouble with it.
You see the difference between this race and that race.
Now, Booster, can we throw him out?
Well, no.
Well, I mean, when's he ever run well at 16? Now, see, what I'm going to say here is that you're going to accept anybody that's been winning recently, you're going to accept them in the race. Booster is a strong contender. We're going to bet.
We have a rule that any horse that won his last race.
We're down one.
I do that, but that is certainly not a flat-out rule.
Good.
Okay. Now, but on the other hand, you got a horse that ran. We've thrown out. God, I don't know where we are now. This is usually not a problem. March Speed. We have. I kept March Speed because of its effort at 16. And that you can say is on a. You accepted somebody else that seemed to be on an improving pattern. You're going to tell me March Speed didn't improve in its last race? That's a big improvement for that one.
Sure is.
Trevette we kept because he won his last race. Whitby T, we've got a mixed bag here as to whether to keep him or not, and be my guest, go either way on that. I kept him in for analysis of the race with no intention ever of betting on it. Gallant Minded, I also kept in with the rest of you. Light the Way Home and Star Material, I eliminated both of them. If I figured my reasoning was that if Light the Way Home could not contend at 12-5, and it was never in contention, why would I think it would contend at 16? Star Material, who ran dismally at 12-5, without an excuse, I don't think there's any reason to think that it was going to run well at 16. And then Booster, who's definitely on an improve. And we have 5 contenders. Now, if you want to substitute any of them, you'll have to run this race again. Because it won't conform to the material I gave you here after that. Let's go to that for a minute. I said no to the adjustments, which means that I'm dealing, in this case, especially with ultra plus variant, because the raw is going to mix a mile and an eighth horses with the one-turn mile horses. And the one-turn mile horse is going to wind up with an advantage. So I ignored that readout completely. All right? In fact, I've got an X drawn through. Now I've got Ultra Plus Variant, which puts Trevette number one and Booster number two, which is kind of a nice push. Now I fudge back toward my phase three here, is when I deal with Ultra Scan, my whole work practically, except to know basically where they belong in Ultra and Ultra Plus Variant. My work is over here on early late, and those relationships, 4-1, 4-1, 3-2, whatever they might be. Now that's where I key into play, because I'm just, I hate to say I'm enslaved to phase three, but Howard accuses me of being overboard there, but I am. And that's where I go into with UltraScan, because it makes it work for me. And I think that's what everybody should do, whether or not you're into phase three or not, it's just that I gravitate toward that immediately. Now if you look at this race, this is a mile and eighth is an early pace biased surface for Hollywood Park.
For winners.
For winners, yeah. And we're going to talk about the place horse in a moment, because the optimum place horse, almost regardless of what the distance is the number one sustain, because they tend to pick up horses that have not been able to continue their contention and begin to fall back. The number one sustain horse most often picks up those pieces. On an early pace track, doesn't matter. It'll pick up the early base horses that were gutted at the second call. Now let's look at this race. Booster, this race is easy now. Booster is a one early and two sustained. You got the best of all worlds there. And if you start looking for the place horses, you've got Mark Speed, and you've got, you got Mark Speed is the best late base horse, and you've got Trevette is the best ultra plus variant. Now several people ran this differently and ran it yes, no, I believe, which improved the hell out of Trevette's sustain.
Yeah, made him a 3-2 and a 2-1. I mean, that's like a match made in heaven.
That's it.
You know, 2-1 for Booster and a 3-2 for Trevette.
Now the winner is very clear in the race. The second horse is, if you want to use, and I'm using ultra plus variant here. So if you want to use the number one ultra plus variant horse, you use Trevette. Otherwise, you gravitate toward Mark Speed for your second one.
Actually, if you use the yes no, you come up with the exact order of finish, first through four, based on sustain, which would make a lot of sense because you already know who's going to have the lead at the six and will probably carry his speed on. 2, 3, 4.
Any questions? Amazing. Sir? I got to tell you, there's a key point in it. Yeah,
could I insert something?
Certainly, Jim.
That they were having trouble, and a lot of people have this trouble when they look at a race. They look down and they see this T-horse, that he's a $30,000 horse, or he's a $20,000 horse, and they look at gallant-minded and they say, my God, he's a 25 or something like this. And if they would look at the T-horse, you see that he came out of a tandem with Kuto, the lightweight home, came out of the same tandem, which was $18,000. We look and then we see that Victory Lee tandem is a $10,000 claimer. These horses, every one of them in this race, except Mark Steve, are $10,000-$12,000 horses. That's all they are.
That's basically what they are, yeah.
They're not $20,000 horses. I don't care where they've been running. They're $10,000 to $12,000 horses only. And if you start making adjustments or you start looking beyond on this T horse, you can just throw T horse out. Because he's not a $30,000 horse. He's a $10,000 at the most, and a bad one at that.
Well, no, I gotta disagree with that. You're talking about Whippy T? He's won at 20 and finished second at 25 in the last five races.
But he couldn't beat Victory Lee, which was a $10,000 horse. He couldn't beat the...
Wait a minute, whoa, Jimmy.
He couldn't beat the horse that ran in the tandem with Victory Lee.
Yeah, he did beat him, though. He beat him.
Lightweight Home?
Yeah, he beat Lightweight Home.
Well, I mean, that's a $10,000 claim that they were in. I'm just pointing to the claims.
Yeah.
One ran seventh. I
got to tell you, we're in a complete disagreement here in terms of the value of Whippy T. Because he's clearly finished second at 25, and he's won at 20 in his current cycle. He's off that cycle, I agree. And now he's probably not a $10,000 horse. But basically, intrinsically, he is better than a $10,000 horse. I'd have to disagree.
That's like he's got a $25,000 horse.
Well, no, not if he's...
He finished second at $25,000.
But we kept him in. We didn't throw him out.
Well, I'm just saying that if you look beyond and you can see what the horse really is, what he's really been competing in. Now, he did run and finish way back down here at $20,000. And since then, you know, I don't know what's happened to the horse. But you can establish the flanks and find out that these are 10-foot of $1,000.
For the most part, they are.
For the most part, all they are.
Remember what I said about expert guests? It's subconscious, you just saw that in action. He picked 1, 2, 3 back here before the people off the golf course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Booster, I got to tell you, I happened to bet Booster, and I was stunned when he paid over 8-5. That's the kind of week it was. I could not believe he paid over 8-5. But as you do this, whether you use Phase 3 or if you use UltraScan, Booster comes strongly up on top of the range. Now, the only point of contention, well, we have two points that I hope everybody realizes, is that whatever you're doing in terms of making contenders, you've got to do it consistently. Okay, so if you're going to throw one horse out for one reason, make sure you're throwing the other horse out for the same reason. And not throwing one out for one reason, keeping another in contrary to that reason. Because you're just going to get in trouble with the numbers, with the horses you wind up in the race. Now, I also agree that Whippy T is on a terrible cycle, but I kept him in. And I used the second race back, and if he did come up strongly, I used him in the exact. But he does not come up strong, and he's on a declining path. Okay, but we were split as to who wanted to use Whippy T and who wanted to keep him. So I mean, that's fine. I don't think you can go wrong either way. Unless you decide to drop down there and grab one of these $20,000 races and say that's today's baseline. Because yeah. That's where you'll go wrong. Yeah. Any other questions?
When he beat Serge Char. Okay.
That's an easy one. Howard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Up with Elsa. Same thing, you must have.
Telling me?
Yeah.
I couldn't
do it
because my computer
any,
was screwed up.
Any questions on
my
that?
My computer was screwed up.
Yes. I want to know what Tom's book is based on. 3 or UltraScan?
Tom's book is based on the power of regression. It has nothing to do with the phase that he's using. It contains examples from both UltraScan and from phase 3, and the power of regression is it works regardless of which you use. Remember,
is the book available at this time?
The book is going to the printers in one next Friday. It has been approved by the authors and the editor, which is Mr. Schmidt. And the only person left to do anything with it is my printer over here after Tom pastes up some of the results. Bear in mind, there's absolutely no difference between Phase 3 and UltraScan other than one does for you what the other you must do for yourself. One gives you a clear picture of velocity, the other gives you compounded results. Both get you the same horses. UltraScan will sometimes get you a more clear picture of precisely what exactly to play, because in this particular race, you pick the place horse as the counter energy horse. Quite obviously to anybody who's had experience with early and late phase. Obviously, if you had been keeping a percentage early, you would have found out that the place energy was in the 52 area and the wind energy was in the high 51. That has been true at this distance for quite consistently at Hollywood Park. The March and Boost both fit a wind energy pattern and travel or whatever it is, that the place energy pattern, that is the thing that we're trying to ingrain in everybody, and in Tom's book it ingrains into you to look for the counter energy horse as your exacta, one of your horses in the exacta.
Well, this is a fairly good idea. By you, doctor, huh? Or will it be through your company, or will it be through gamblers, or where will it be?
I beg your pardon. Nothing we do is available to the general public. Available only to you, is available only through us. We do not print books for the public. We are not famous. We are only helping our own individual clients. We have no desire to be published throughout the world, even Tom Broever with his youth and fervor has not acceded to the many publishers who have asked him to publish and desert us and go out on his own.
Well, my wife hopes that she's able to buy a new Ferber coating as a result.
The main reason for that is that we pay 50% royalties and they pay 6%.
Well, Tom has been, Tom has been offered by big houses like Cynthia. Double Crossing Company.
Double Cross.
Formerly Double Day, it turned into Double Cross. That's down in Dean Daly's company. And a lot of these people have offered Tom, but he's sticking with us. So it'll be available to us. You'll all get a notice on it.
At least it's still on bid.
Do you all know the theme song? Do you all know the theme song from Gone with the Wind? La da da da. Remember how they said 7 years in the making and that sort of thing? Well, we're going to have a little record that plays the theme song from Gone with the Wind when the Brohammer model is finally published, because it has been even longer in the making than Gone with the Wind. It turns out that Tom had a boyhood crush on Margaret Mitchell.
That's it.
We will meet again in an hour and 17 minutes. At which time Jim Bradshaw will regale you with Oklahoma. Jimmy may hustle you for a few books and things we have here, but thus far we've got him as far as Albuquerque. He wants to get all the way home. Sounds great.
Bob Purdy and myself, we said, God, horses here don't run any 56. So we put in our own variant. And we've tried 54, 55, and I'll be damned if we didn't get the same horses. So I accept the 56. I'll explain to you how to make the certain things that you need to know to properly use UltraScan. Now, they're basically, I would say, three things that you really need to know. One is a race adjustment. Does a race need adjustment? I've talked to a number of people and they don't know when a race needs adjusting. A guy called me from New York. You know, that's where the wise guys live. And he said that he hadn't gone to the track for 2 weeks. And he said he was doing this and doing this with UltraScan. And I said, well, you're doing it wrong. He said he was taking a half of the open adjustment and putting half of it in the open adjustment and half of it in the third fraction adjustment. I said, that's not the way that the program is designed. You don't do it that way. So he said, well, I said, you've got to know. He said, what do you do? I said, first thing is know when to adjust the race. He said, well, when do you know when a race needs adjusting? I said, if you don't know that, I'd stay away from the track more than 2 weeks. I said, I'd stay away until I learn when a race does need to be adjusted. Now that's one of the main things. The second thing is to know a fast horse and a slow horse. And if you can't recognize a fast horse from a slow horse, then you're going to run into problems with UltraScan. And
or polo.
And say, I've had them say, well, what is a slow horse? I said, a slow horse is a horse that can't outrun a fast horse. I said, yeah, just that dang simple. And if you don't understand it, stay the heck away from the track. But a slow horse, in all reality, is a horse that is too slow for what's going to be run today. A fast horse is a horse that is going to establish or set the pace in today's race. If you combine these horses in UltraScan, and you put in a slow horse and you put in a fast horse, the slow horse gets rated above the fast horse because it is supposed to do that. Howard put a little man in these computers that tells this computer, this guy that's putting these numbers in here, says this race needs to be adjusted. And he's picked this horse as a contender. Now, if he's picked it as a contender, I'll need an adjustment on this horse. Yep, that little man, he adjusts that horse. Track to track, route to route, I mean route to sprint, everything. I've had people that have put in, they want to put in all of the adjustment, and then they want to put in 0.08 for each point of bearing, daily bearing. And, you know, you can't do this. The program isn't designed to do this. It's designed either to do internally by saying no or to do nothing on UltraScan, letting you put in your own adjustments or computer adjustments. And Howard went through when to use UltraScan and UltraScan and vary. I'll go on this a little bit. There isn't anything that there's, well, one thing that will make you a better handicapper than using UltraScan, than applying the tandem concept. You apply the tandem concept with the use of UltraScan and you will become a better handicapper. You will not worry about pace lines. You will not worry about the fast horse, the slow horse. You will not worry about adjustments, because it will become automatic. In 8 out of 10 times, I know which horses the computer will get. If I put this horse in, the computer's going to get this horse. And I know the computer's going to get it. And you can teach yourself to do this. Run races, run every race in every manual that you have. Don't worry about the numbers that it gets, but find out how you can get these horses.
And pretty soon you'll start recognizing which ones the computer's going to get. Once you've recognized what the computer's going to get at a plant, you get the top contenders in the race. That is a must in UltraScan. Howard has said five horses to make a perfect model. If I have to put five horses in a race, I get so dang confused that I don't know what's going on. I never put five horses in. I will go back and look to find the horses that I think that made from the also ran the one that is going to finish second, because I know I'm going to get the winner in the top three. I know 90% of the time. But if I've got five, that narrows my chances. And if I can't look and tell what to do on a situation like that, if I've got five or six horses and I don't know who's going to win, the horses don't know who's going to win either.
Because that's two of your fingers shut off when you're a kid.
But this is what you try to do with the use of UltraScan. I advise you to put in five horses, but make sure that they are true contenders, that they really have a chance in this race. And in all reality, it's very difficult to say that five horses have a chance to win a given race. It's more like three, in some instances, maybe. It isn't difficult to narrow the contenders. If you practice this and you can get the contenders in phase three, you can get them with the use of UltraScan. Now those are the main steps. The final analysis of UltraScan is how do I make the adjustments? Now what do I do to make the adjustments? If you get the true contenders, it doesn't make a lot of difference what you do. You can say no, or you can say yes, and you're going to get the horses in the top four, and then you play your track profile, your model, and play two horses, and you'll win 75% of the time. It's that simple. Yeah, I think that it's the greatest program that was ever written. Howard, you wasn't in here when I was bragging on you.
I do it again, please.
I said you was a genius and you was pretty dang smart, too.
Oh, my God. I want you to look all them Okies that chased me during the dust bowl.
I want you to look at the first race in the pink manual from Paul. By the way, while you're turning to this, let me tell you, everything that I know about handicapping has been taught to me through the Sargent method. I could not handicap a race. I could not win a race with the horses I owned, the horses I trained, and especially the horses I bet on. And through being an owner, I have very little respect for jockeys. I respect them as athletes. I respect baseball players as athletes, but I'm dang sure not going to put my money on them.
That's what I have your daughter married.
No. Because, you know, to me, they're just pretty little smart aleck athletes. You know, I don't even like them. And then trainers are on the bottom of my list. You know, they the world's work. And if I had to bet on a trainer, you know, I couldn't pick a trainer. So I don't look at jockeys and I don't look at trainers. I've had bad experiences with trainers. You know, I've had trainers put the buzzer to my horse. I've had trainers put the juice to them. I've had them do everything to my horse. I've had them freeze their legs because they were sore. just to try to say, well, I think we'll run good today. So I go bet my bankroll on the dang horn. Make same story. It's a five horse race, and I've got a good little horse, quarter horse. I mean, he's dandy, and I know I can run third. You know, there's nothing going to keep me from running third. And this is outlaw track. This sport, they had the legalized betting in Oklahoma. And man, you can bet on daylight. You can bet on anything that you want to. You can bet on even, and you can bet on odds. Hell, you can even bet on what's going to finish last, if you want to. Bet. So I put everything I could rake and scrape on my horse to run third. I didn't care who would beat him, I just said he'd run third. Man, I knew I was going to collect money. So he came out for the post parade and they're getting ready to warm up, and here goes my horse. Just as fast as he could go. All the way around the track. Well, I'll be dang, that's not the way to warm my horse up. So they go to the gate and they put my horse in. Man, he breaks out of there and he runs about 50 yards and he looks like he's swimming. He's so tired. So I asked Painters, what the heck happened? And they said, well, said we tried a buzzer on the horse and said he didn't like it. I said, well, God, I can tell that. I said, have you tried it before the rain? He said, nah. I said, we just tried it out there warming up. Now, that's just one experience. I had two or three experiences with the buzzer. But they wouldn't do it during the race or before the race and not in practice. So, you know, I don't like trainers. So, because they're not going to run the race, these horses are going to run this race. And I look at every race as an entirely different race than was run yesterday, that'll be run tomorrow, that'll be run in race two at Talbot. That's the way I look at a race. And that's the way UltraScan looks at that race. This UltraScan's not going to look unless you keep a model. UltraScan's not going to look at next race and say, now, how am I going to bet this race? You better bet these horses in this race. All right, I don't like to see marks on the farm because it blows my mind. I don't know whether they scratched them legally or whether they've just taken them out. But I'm going to go with the ones that they ended up with the top five contenders, and I'm going to show you something. First one that they kept in was